to be relationally restored. Some of you in the room, you need God to restore some broken relationships. Maybe in this room, maybe out of this room. But all of us need Jesus to lay his healing hands on some broken relationship from your past or in your present. And I can testify to you in a fresh way, full of thanksgiving, that God is able to restore broken relationships. And when it comes to the power to restore those relationships, there's no power like the power of love. Can you say love? Love, love. That there is no greater power when it comes to restoring broken relationships in your life than the power of love. And I'm talking about God's love. And that's why, you don't have to turn there. We'll turn somewhere else. But that's why Zach read the text earlier today. Jesus, the Lord of love, during his final days on earth, says these famous words to his disciples. They were just read to you. I'll just say them again. They are familiar to some of you, I'm sure. John 13, 34, Jesus says, a new commandment. All right? We like new stuff, right? I like new stuff. You like new stuff. Jesus like new stuff. He says, I got something new for you. You want something new? He says, a new commandment I'm giving to you, my people. Listen. Love one another. Just as I loved you, you also ought to love one another. It's like, that sounds simple. Hardest thing in the world. Love one another. Now, we can define love, and we can go to all the scriptures on love. But I believe the Lord this morning wants us to know what love is for real, for real. Like, what does love look like in my life when things get dirty, messy, when I get betrayed, my feelings hurt, somebody abuses me in my house, out my house, at the store? What does love really look like? And the best go-to place that I know of in all the Bible, really in all of literature, even outside the Bible, but the best place to go, I believe, for any real answer to any of life's questions is the Bible. But the go-to place as it relates to love is 1 Corinthians. We've been there before, but let's revisit it. Please get your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, then 1 Corinthians. If you happen to be reading the Bible from your phone or app or something, I'm actually going to read this from the NIV, but those of you who have the ESV, you should be able to follow along as well. But I'm going to actually read what this for real love looks like in 1 Corinthians 13, because all of us desperately need this, especially me. So I'm going to read from NIV. I'm just going to read verse 4 through 7, all right? 4 through 7. And this may sound familiar to some of you. This is what the word of the Lord says to help us this morning. Verse 4, love is patient. My Lord, we can just start right there. Love is kind. It does not envy. I like that. It does not boast. NIV says, it is not proud. Verse 5, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I think ESV says resentful. That's what that means in Greek. It keeps no record of wrongs. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, my Lord. It always trusts. That one got me. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Then it finishes, love never fails. Okay, so let's just walk through these and listen to the Holy Spirit, who wants to make you a more loving person. I guarantee you, you may not need more gas in your car. You may not need more money in the bank. You may not need more shoes in your closet. But I do know this, you need more love. Everybody can grow in the way that they consistently love one another. Everybody in the room. So listen. God, who is love, wants to gift our church with more truly loving relationships. So, Lord, come and do that. So the Spirit is saying, when it comes to the people in your family, when it comes to the people in your church, when it comes to the people in your school, when it comes to the people in your workplace, when it comes to the people in your community, when it comes to people in your joy community that we'll be launching in a couple weeks, we'll tell you more about it. When it comes to people in this room, 1 Corinthians 13, by the Spirit, is telling us, love them in these 13 ways. Okay, we're going to go through them. We're going to bam, bam, bam. 1 Corinthians 13, 13 ways that God empowers his people to love. Number one, love in this way. Be patient with people. And you say, patience, patience, patience. Come on, King, preach it. Verse 4 says, love is patient. Short-fused. We've talked about this before. It's a fireworks term in Greek. You know, you got the long stem fireworks, and then you got the crazy kids like me who like to light the little stems, David, the little stems. Like, pow, ah! This word means you got a long stem firecracker. It take a long time to set you off. That's what love means. It's patience. The people in your life are not all that they can be or will be. Come on now. God is not done with them yet, just like he's not done with you yet. Be patient. Think about all the mess you've made in your life and how much God has been patient with you. He wants that patience to flow over to them. Look, you are still here. That's called patience. You're still breathing God's air. He's still letting you get a little of his food. He's still giving you his goodness. Look, God has been lovingly patient with you. Be lovingly patient with every person in your life. Especially, watch this. Can I see your eyes? The old school preacher said, you're about to go into meddling. You didn't left preaching and went to meddling with people. I'm bowling down your alley now, one of the brothers said. I'm all in your Kool-Aid, know the flavor, know the Doritos, all that. Whatever you want to say, here we go. You need patience, especially with people who are not like you. That clash with your personality. You're real quiet, but you, the dude that come up like, hey, you like, where the quiet people at? Are you loud? Like, hey, and then the quiet dude come up. You're like, I don't even know what to say to him. He didn't even try, like, personality class. I don't like the music they listen to. I don't like that. This is the body of Christ. That's why Martin Luther King said, Sunday's the most divided day, except in City of Joy, I guess. But the most divided day of races, because we like our own stuff. We don't want patience to be required in our relationship, because if I look like you, smell like you, talk like you, I won't need to be as patient with you. Which means I don't have to love you as much as I love my people that look like me and talk like me and smell like me. Be patient. Listen, watch this. Give people relational room to mess up and get back up again. Oh, my God. Let me just say that. Give people room, relational room, to mess up and get back up over and over again. Isn't that beautiful? Love is patient. Be patient with people. But also, love will lead you to, number two, be kind to people. Can you say kind? Kind. Love is kind. Love is kind. I was just listening to that song by Marvin Sapp this morning. It's a beautiful song. Look that up, man. Kind God. It's called Kind God. He's just like, how kind of God to think of me. I was like, yes, he's so kind. Kindness is what I thought about. Kindness is usually expressed with a smiling face. You ever notice that? You can't be like, you see how kind I am to you? It's like, no. That is not kind. Kindness is usually expressed with a smiling face, with gentle words. Kindness and gentleness are like twins. Like, can't you see how kind I'm trying to be with you? No, I cannot. That's not kindness. Tell your face and your voice tone that you're being kind, because they ain't listening to you right now. Kindness is usually expressed with a smiling face, gentle words, and watch this, tender offers to help people in small and big ways. You got that? So kindness is usually expressed with a smile on your face, gentle words, and tender offers to help people in small or big ways. Kindness says, babe, I do the dishes tonight. That's kindness talking. That ain't Kempton. I'm talking about kindness. Kindness says, Joni, can I help the OB kids? That's already, you already being kind, because there's a lot of them. Can I help the OB kids to just adjust to the city? Kindness is, Tori, I'll pay for this. Kindness. Don't we love to be just around a truly kind person? I mean, it's like being around some incense that it's like being around your favorite cologne, your favorite perfume. It smells good to your soul. And I remember just yesterday we're getting ready to do the laundromat outreach, and here comes Kind Danny. Some people you just challenge to see drive up, but others like Danny. Because Danny coming with a smile, and he's like, can I help? Loading stuff up. Thank you for your kindness, Danny. Love is kind. It's not hard to get along with. It's not stingy or selfish. Look, be kind to each other. I know it seems simple, but it is amazing what God will do and the kind of platforms we'll have as a church if we're known to be kind to each other. Number three, we got to move. Not only that, verse 4 says, love does not envy. Oh, Lord, you're bowling down our lane today. Do not envy others. Real love causes a person to not get jealous and mad when others shine and succeed in front of them. Wow. Oh, Lord, how we need this. How I need this. Real love causes you not to get jealous or mad when your homie, when your homegirl, when your brother, when your sister shine and succeed in front of you in ways that you never were able to do it. She got better grades. He got more stats. She faster. She this. He's this. He's that. But when love from God hits your heart, it causes a person not to desire the blessings of another, especially a child of God. The child of God who walks in love is secure in our Father's love. Did you hear that? And recognizes blessings in a brother or sister's life as coming down from the same Father. So they choose to rejoice. Oh, you got that? Even though you tried to get it. That's true love right there. Oh, you did that? Even though you've been trying to do it and never did it. They did it the first time. You couldn't do it in 100 days. When true love hits your heart, especially in the body of Christ, you celebrate with your brother and your sister because you know the same God that blessed them is going to bless you in the time that he wants to bless you in so that you can rejoice with one another and not get envy. Oh, I go to City of Joy and those people ain't jealous for one another. They got the same Father who gives the same good gifts as he wants to. So we don't have to be envious of one another. Love does not envy, but celebrates the gifts and opportunities and blessings of God's other children. Oh, Father, please help us to love in ways that don't envy. Number four, we're moving. Haven't got to yours yet? It's coming. Maybe this one. All right. Love does not proudly boast. Some versions say it's not arrogant, it's not proud. Look. Do not arrogantly boast about yourself to others. That's not loving. Maybe in the world, but not true, holy, pure, joyful love. It doesn't boast about yourself to others. Real love causes a person not to have an exaggerated sense of their own importance in another person's presence. Did y'all hear that? Love doesn't boast. Not real love. I'm not saying we're going to struggle with all these things, but we pray, God, give me this kind of love, because I'm not going to be on my mind all the time when I'm in their presence telling them about my mess, my stuff, my day, my things, my this, my that. Love considers others more important than themselves, Philippians chapter 2. Divine love steps into the relationship and into the conversation genuinely interested in how the other person is doing. Real love steps into the room. I wonder how Piff's doing. I wonder how Mike's doing. Not, I hope somebody asks me what I'm doing. Real love steps into the relationship and wants to know what's going on in their lives. Real love wants to know how you can meet their needs. We don't want to be that dude, right? That dudette, that girl, the one that always, I just came from China because I'm the new East St. Louis Rice House representative, and we was in China right there, and then they paid me a lot of money to come up with some new stuff, and they flew me over there, and so I've been over there, but then the reason you couldn't catch up with me because the other week I was over here, and the reason why nobody knows where I'm going is simply because God is doing a work in me that's so profound that you can't see it right now, but one day, how are you doing? Oh, Lord. Love does not boast. It desires to listen to others talk about their life. Oh, Lord. Can you imagine your relationships? If that kind of love took over, let's keep going. Number 5, love does not rudely dishonor. Love does not rudely dishonor, but honors others and seeks their good. The ESV and some other versions say love is not rude. Love is just not rude. Christians should not be rude. Real love causes a person not to be rude, sharp, disrespectful, short, impolite. Real love causes a person not to make sarcastic, demeaning, hurtful comments about the others. Like when I grew up, and I think obviously they still do it, Jonin, we call it Jonin. Then I moved to Houston, they call it Rankin. And then I moved here, they call it beefing. And whatever you call it, it's so common. You can go to all over, they're going to call it something. Wanga, yodo, you know, I hope I didn't say a cuss word. But all over the globe, every community, even the hood or the suburbs, they got a term for putting you down. That's what sin does. But when Jesus gets into your heart, Jonin is for kids. That's why you see it mainly among kids. It's immature. It's hurtful. It's not funny. Now, I ain't talking about lighthearted joking that's healthy and funny to both people. Me and Mark do that all the time. Like, David, but, you know, when one person think it's funny and the other person crying, we was just joking. No, we wasn't just joking, man. It's a good sign. Love does not use words that intentionally put people down. Love leads you to take every opportunity to honor and support your brothers and sisters with your words and actions in and out of their presence. Remember that song? Edify, edify, lift your brother up, lift your sister up. That's what love does. It's not rude, it's not demeaning. I love love. Number six, maybe this is just for you. Love is not easily angered or irritable. How can all this be in one little verse? God knows us, doesn't he? Just one section. We ain't going to no other verses today. Love is not easily angered or irritable. Verse 5. Be slow to become angry with others. Let's be honest. Can I see your eyes now? Okay. Especially those who live in your crib. Your dwelling place. My homie LaVance used to say, your pad, man. Can I come over to your pad, man, in Houston? Those are the ones that irritate you the most. Your homies, your roommates, your wife, your husband, your kids. Real love causes a person not to have this tendency of being easily annoyed, frustrated, or angered. Hallelujah, amen, ouch. Is Miss Touchy in the room today? Mr. Grumpy, where you at? Auntie Moody. Uncle Grouchy. Cousin Crabby, Brother Snappy. Sister Salty. I know you in here. It's called the human race. But Jesus invaded the human race, and he gave us the ability to love in ways that will shock people, I guarantee you. This is supernatural. I don't care what culture you're in. I told you before, when you're over here and people say, oh, he bothers me. And then you're over here and say, he get on my nerves. I mean, like, I've been both spots. It's there. And you need love. You need love. And God is giving us love. Snappy, like, what? Why? What you say? It's like, hold up. I mean, goodness. I am guilty of loveless anger. Father, forgive me. Forgive us. Help us to be people who are slow to get angry, slow to be irritable. Watch this. Just like you. Can you imagine praying and the Lord like, what? Did you see I'm moving in Asia? I mean, look at the Bible. Let me read this. Psalm 86:15. It says, but you, O Lord, are God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Those go together. Slow to anger. Lord, God does not get, you might have grew up with a mama that'll snap on you in a minute, a daddy that'll slap you across the head, or auntie that'll bust you in the mouth. I mean, like, look, not God the Father. He's not like that. If you were abused, he's not like that. He's very slow to anger. And the abuse, this is not in my notes, this is really for somebody. And the abuse that you experience does not have to be passed on to your children and your cousins and your aunts and your uncles, because the slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, Father, comes in through Jesus and transforms your heart so that you can leave a legacy of kindness and not abuse. Love. Not quick to be angry. Number seven. Let's keep moving. So what it says, verse 5, just for you, love keeps no record of wrongs. What does that mean? Choose not to remember their wrongs against you. Is this book from another planet? Yes. It's actually from another whole realm. This is from heaven. This is the Word of God. If you ever wondered if man wrote the Bible, read 1 Corinthians 13. We would have never told on ourselves in this way. The Bible is God's Word. He says, don't keep record of wrongs. You did this 8 months ago. 8 months ago? What are you talking about 8 months ago? Love does not hide away past wrongs like a little pet pit bull. Like, I got something. You just come at it. I know it. Like, oh! I didn't even see you had a pet bull. Listen, nothing good comes out of holding on to old offenses and past wounds that have been addressed and resolved. Here's your word. Forgive them for real. But it's hard. God is harder. He can help you. If you need prayer, we're going to pray. I want some of the SALT team to just pray in a minute. Because some of, I know relational brokenness is in the room. And I just want me and a couple of the sisters maybe just to be here to pray for you and offer counseling for past relational or present relational wounds. Some of us have been blindsided before with a three-year-old issue that seemingly came out of nowhere. It's like, what? Yes. They took what you did and said in the past and made a weapon out of it for the present. Don't do that. Again, this is so helpful because what if Jesus did that to you? I know you asked for forgiveness, but you made me mad back in 2012. And I'm bringing that old sin up again so I can bop you. Oh, man, we would be condemned to hell if Jesus did that. Never. Look at this new covenant promise, Hebrews 8, 12. It says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. He's not bringing it back up again. Everything that you confess to the Lord, he will never bring it up again. God is not a gossip. Wear the t-shirt at, James. God is not a gossip. He ain't about to air nothing. He ain't telling nobody nothing. Guess how many times God told people what you told him about your mess? Guess how many times he has? Zero. Guess how many times he brought it back up? Zero. Who does that? The devil. He's the accuser. He brings things back up. And you're being just like the devil when you bring stuff back up. He says, I'm going to forgive their sins no more. Wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. I never even wrote that. You're being like the devil when you bring things up. Because he's the accuser of the brother. Brethren, don't let him use your mouth. Oh, Lord, help us to never bring up our spouses or our friends' wrongs again like you do, Lord. This is love, holy Christian love. Watch this, that the world needs to see. That the world needs to see. Number eight, just a few more. Hallelujah for true love. Love does not delight in wrongdoing. Look at verse 6. It says love doesn't rejoice in evil. Love doesn't get excited about people doing wrong. This is in the context of relationships. In other words, address the wrong or sin in the lives of your brothers and sisters. We've talked about this before, but that's what I wasn't looking for it, and there it is again. That's very Christian-like. That's very unique. It's not hating on nobody. It's just lovingly addressing, because love in a relationship is like seeing a spider on you and hitting it. Ow, my shoulder hurt, but I killed that spider, though, didn't I? It's like taking a snake that's trying to wrap itself around your leg and taking a knife and bam, it's like, ah, you stabbed my toe, but I killed that poisonous snake that was about to kill you. Love is not silent when you really love somebody, when you see something in their life that's going to jack them up. Love leads you to have that tough Matthew 18 conversation about sin or unloving attitudes and patterns that you see in your brother or sister's life. Some call it tough love. The Bible calls it God's love. We talked about this before. Proverbs 27:6 says, quote, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And one of the things we said when I quoted that verse is, true friends say hard things that may hurt your feelings but heal your character. That's true love. Hey, bro, let's talk. Hey, sis, let's talk. Because real love leads you to address the sin in your brother's and sister's life, but also, number 9, love leads you to affirm the truth and grace you see in their lives too. Right? So that ain't a friendship. You always point stuff out. That's called a critic and a judge. Well, that's what Kempton said. I see all kind of stuff in your life. It's like, I'm going to text you every morning with all the stuff that, no. Remember, love doesn't bring up stuff either. So you got to be led by the Spirit. But verse 6 says, love rejoices with the truth too. I love that. Affirm the truth and grace that you see in your brothers and sisters' life. So on the other hand, way more than you call out their sin, you should be calling out truth that you see. You should be encouraging and saying, man, I see that, Jason. I see that at that table serving people with a smile on your face. I see that, Jazz, walking those little girls, cute little girls, and loving on those families. We need to be, that's like a 10 to 1. 10 encouragements to everyone. Can we talk, bro, because I see this. Like 10 to 1. I was tremendously blessed by a little note that my sister, who said I could share this, Quita, shared with me, because this is family. After our meeting, this is what she wrote to me. She affirmed some grace, and it blessed me, Piff. It blessed me. She said, thank you, Kempton. Thank you for being a man of humility, grace, wisdom, and love. You truly have a pastor's heart. Thanks for confessing and apologizing. Thanks for taking notes. Thanks for actively listening, being led by the Holy Spirit. You're a great leader and example for us. The Goins crew loves you and the family. This is love. Write notes to people. Send them a text. If you see God at work, even in the smallest way, when you identify it, it fills your brother and sister with encouragement. Last few. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing right here. Love protects. Number 10, verse 7. Now, watch this. I know the ESV says, what does it say? Who's got that? Bears. Good. That's good. The Greek word, though, the NIV got it right. That's why I wanted it. That word, most of the time it's used in the New Testament, is protects or covers. And guess what? Oh, I started to shout on this one, Paige. Look. In Greek everyday life, you know what that word was used for? A roof, like on a house. That's the same word. That's what it's connected to. So when it's a tragic thing to not have a roof. Because when the elements come, the rain, the storm, you won't last long if you don't have a roof. That's what it says. In your relationships, be a roof. Protect and cover your brothers and sisters from all things harmful. Be a roof for each other. Seek to protect your brother and sister in relationships. Protect their reputation from the rain of bad assumptions, gossip, slander, and all things harmful. This has the idea of love does not point out or gossip about or repeat people's sins, mistakes, and failures, but is a roof so that the rain of what people say slides right off of your brother and doesn't land on you. That's why 1 Peter 4:8 says, if you think I'm going too far, love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't talk about them. It doesn't spread the word about them. It doesn't repeat them. It doesn't form a little favorite pit bull to unleash years later. No. Love covers. Like Jesus covers your sin. Jesus is a roof, a rough, or whatever you, however you cover. And when an issue does need to be addressed, remember, this is what we said a while back, Christians talk to one another and not about one another, because we are protective roof over each other's faults and sins. And did you realize that personal disputes between Christians should rarely leak out to the whole church, because love protects the privacy of that precious moment? Wow. Last three. Number 11, love always trusts. I'm learning about trust. Why would the NIV say love always trusts? What does that mean? I studied, I looked. I'm like, wow, Lord. This means that love assumes the best about them. You realize that? Almost everybody makes assumptions. Think about this. Almost everybody makes assumptions. What is an assumption? I had to look that up, man. I'm like, what? And we always say that's an assumption, but what does it mean? I kind of know what it means, but I like this definition. An assumption is a thing you accept is true about someone without proof. Isn't that good? An assumption. Relationships are destroyed because of accepting things about the person that are not true. But watch this. Can I help you? Assumptions can actually be good. As long as you are always assuming the best about your brother and sister. This is why love is so awesome in relationships. It assumes, I'm going to celebrate that, yes, hallelujah. It assumes the best. So, for example, I could say, you know, bro, when you bought me, when my brother bought me a 3-pound bag of breath mints, like that big, I'm just giving you an example. When my bro bought me a 3-pound bag of breath mints, he wasn't saying that my breath was stank. He wasn't saying that. No. He just knew how much I valued fresh breath. See, Isaac, that was funny to Isaac. This is what it means that love always trusts. It assumes the best. Watch this. Love interprets borderline behavior in the best possible lights. That's the power of love. Oh, you know what? They didn't mean that. They were just, you know, when he was coming at me with the knife, he just saw I had some toast, man. He just saw I had some toast, you know. That's all. They didn't mean that. When he smacked me, that was a mosquito he saw on my head. That's what that was. He wasn't mad and knocking me out. Now, that might be extreme, but I'm telling you, real love assumes the best about an unclear action that your brother and sister has done. It's not suspicious. Then number 12, love always hopes, verse 7 says. So 11 was it always trust. It always assumes the best about them. But 12, love always expects the best from them. True love keeps waiting and expecting them to grow and mature in grace. That's what it means that love hopes all things. Love says crazy things after 5, 10, 20 years of nothing ever changing, like, they're going to change. Love got some faith to it, Kelly. It's like I love them. That's why you see these mothers, son, going through this and this and that and say, he's going to be all right. That's true love. They're not being foolish. God put that love in a mother. Oh, my baby, it's okay. They're going to change. They got this and they got that going on, but it's okay. This is God's love. He's going to come around. She's going to change. The relationship is going to get better. Something good is going to happen between us. God can turn it around. I'm never going to stop praying for them. May God fill us with this crazy, hope-filled love that believes God can turn any relationship or person around. Love hopes all things. There is faith planted in love that gives you a positive expectation even after 5 years that it's going to turn around. It's okay. It's okay. Finally, Christian, never stop loving people in these ways, because the final thing says love always perseveres. It doesn't fail. True love keeps on loving. It never says I'm done with you. It never says I've been hurt too much. It never says it's over. It never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on your spouse, on your children, on your friends, on your brothers and sisters in Christ. On and on and on and on it goes. Whose love does that sound like? That's God's love. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. Only God can love like this. I'm done. This, back to the verse Zach read. Jesus looked at his disciples and he looks at us and he says, love one another. But watch this. How? Just as I loved you. He's been patient with us. He doesn't bring up stuff. He believes the best about us. This is the love of God. And scripture says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Jesus died for the sins of lovelessness. All the ways that we don't love each other, we don't have to leave here discouraged and heavy. Jesus knew that, and so he took our lack of love on the cross. And when we come to him and ask him, Lord, forgive me for my negative contribution to the conflict in this relationship, because it's two ways, always is. Lord, forgive me for my part in it. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your forgiveness. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Don't think you can muster this up. What you're doing right now is just saying, Lord, I'm looking to the cross and I need your Holy Spirit, whose first fruit is love, to love my brothers and sisters, my wife, my kids, my family, my neighbors, my coworkers, the students in my class, the people on my team. Lord, I need your love to love people through me. No wonder it says, now you see why? Then people will know that you're my disciples. Because they're going to be like, we never seen people like this. Not perfectly, but authentically.